Welcome to this week's podcast of Kicking It with Kidneys with your host, Cindy Barclay. Hey, Cindy, take it away.
Topic of discussion today is Roe versus Wade and its significance on the healthcare profession. Pro-life or pro-choice? Well, BJ, what's the word on the street?
Hundreds of supporters and opponents of abortion rights clashed outside the Supreme Court overnight, a preview of the state-by-state fight that may lie ahead for both sides.
I think we're going to see an end to legalized and culturally accepted abortion in my lifetime. And I'm excited to be alive and to be part of it.
Popular narrative has been that abortion is somehow going to empower women when we know that it's an act of violence against our children.
It's become a much more complicated matter over the years, but it's just going to be interesting to see how this plays out at the state level, not just in terms of full-blown abortion bans, but what you're talking about. Will Republican politicians, governors, and legislators try to restrict other kinds of reproductive health? Plan B, we don't know, but, you know, given what's happened over the last, not just week, but, you know, year, it's not implausible to think that those sort of things might try to get passed in Republicans.
One of the problems with the idea of thinking about, you know, equality is the idea, and I don't think it's a problem to have equality. It's a problem to be naive that we actually should expect it now in this day and age, given this particular opinion, because rich women will still be able to get abortions.
Right.
And I know that people will focus a great deal on the idea of black and brown women and lower income women, and they will conflate the two groups as if they are synonymous, as if only those groups will be the ones who have an unplanned pregnancy. But in reality, it's those who are not going to be able to have the luxury of travel, who are not going to be able to have the luxury of the privacy to decide where they should go to actually seek whatever service they ultimately wanted to actually obtain, but rich women will. And so this idea, even people who are not wealthy, but just people of means. And so when you think about the fundamental rights, when you think about equal protection, the law, and privacy, this particular opinion, if it holds, will essentially only extend that to those of a certain socioeconomic status. And therefore, we will have a bit of a health caste system in this country, which, frankly, we need to guard against.
Yeah. Let me tell you about the word on the street for me, Cindy, as it relates to Roe versus Wade. First of all, I don't have a dog in this hunt
because
my uterus is in retirement.
Oh. Girl, it's gone. It's dried up.
It's in retirement.
No bueno.
It's resting.
It's resting. Okay.
So, and the reality of it is, so many of the people that I, you know, feel are making the decisions either don't have a uterus at all, or theirs is in retirement too, or maybe at least semi-retirement. So, for me, I'm going to use the F word, which is.
Not the real F word. You mean, what's the other F word?
Freedom.
Freedom. Okay. All right.
I think for me, what's so interesting is in the recent pandemic, we heard so many people talk about their freedom and their freedom of choice and how the government couldn't tell them what they could put in their bodies. And now, when you look at Roe versus Wade, I think you hear some of the same issues. We're talking, as you mentioned earlier, about choice, you know, and I've talked to people who are on other sides, on both sides of this debate, and you hear people get very angry to say it's a choice. They say it's not a choice, you know, it's a child. But the flip side of that is in a democracy where we really tout freedom as being the ultimate in our desire, you know, what we can do and what we can't do. The fact that we are considering rescinding a protection of a right for women to make this choice over what they do.
Okay, so BJ, let's do a historical overview of Roe versus Wade.
Okay.
Back in 1973, Okay, it was a historical landmark decision that protected a woman's liberty to have an abortion without excessive governmental restrictions. Mm-hmm. Now, the lawsuit was filed on behalf of a young lady whose government name, as you guys know, we have a government name, and then we have, you know, whose government name was Norma McCorvey. Okay. However, the pseudonym that they used to represent Norma was called Jane Roe, not Jane Doe. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, the common denominator between poor folk and people of color is access to equitable health care. Now, I'm not going to try to paint this lady as a saint, okay? Norma really never benefited herself by the Supreme Court ruling because she never really had the abortion. But she did pave the way, okay, for other women to have some type of control over their reproductive organs. Another thing is that she later admitted that politics and political agendas played a major role in the assimilation and distribution of her messaging. Number three, Norma switched sides and became a star of the anti-abortion movement when she became a Christian. She found the Lord. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
Okay, so the option to change her mind, she still had choice. She was able to say, okay, I'm having too much trouble. I was young, irresponsible, had all these kids, don't really want to be bothered with any of them. But when she found the Lord, apparently, she was able to come out and say, okay, still, I want that choice. I want that right to say that now that I've gone through all of this, I've had an awakening, and now I'm anti-abortion. So we want to look at this program in that sense. Do y'all understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I would like to say, as the youngest, representing the younger generation on this panel,
her uterus being in
I'm trying to be respectful, Rita, but you all still have a dog in the hunt. You are still women, and at some point, you know, in the past, you guys had the right to choose. And me being born after 1973, all I know is Roe versus Wade. I know no other way but to have the choice. So it's very baffling to me that we are trying to take a step backwards when we are trampling on established human rights, you know, for women. So it's crazy to me that this is even a conversation. But just for my stance is that I am absolutely pro-choice, and as a young fighter, we're of my generation, that's what we're going to continue to do is fight.
Well, why do y'all think that now? Why is it such a controversial hot topic now? Why now? Why?
Probably money.
What do you mean by money?
Most things center around money, but they don't see that it more than likely will cost us more. You know, with childcare, healthcare, we're already not able to access them, you know, like other groups, but it's all about money.
But I'm confused. In the US, the mortality rate with African American and other minorities is triple that of white folks. So is this about a census? Is this about census, or is this really about pro-life and pro-choice? I mean, think about this, okay? You've got a minority, the majority right now, is about what, 72, 75% white. In the year 2045, it has been estimated that the white race will no longer be the majority. Is this really about money, Maria? Or what is this really about? Because minorities have been putting out, the mortality rate with these kids are sky high. With African Americans, mm-hmm. is 3 or 4 times more than it is with the other races. So what do y'all think this is really about? Come on now, wake up.
I know.
Well, for me, I think that what we're looking at is something that we see historically in our society. There have been other incidents where social behavior and social issues there's been an attempt to regulate it by a small minority group. You know, and I think when we look at the statistics of what most Americans feel about when you ask them, should Roe versus Wade be repealed? 67% of the population say no. But again, historically, we've seen this in other cases. Probably the most popular one would have been prohibition in the 20s, where it was a small group of people who felt that we should ban the use and distribution of alcohol. So for 13 years, people created an underground market. You had a stronghold by organized crime. And then in 13 years later, they said, no, we don't want this. This is nothing that we really ever agreed upon. And you're going to see, mark my words, you're going to see the same thing with abortion. If they do a wholesale banning abortion, particularly in the states that have been probably the worst states in terms of civil rights. You know, if you look at the states that are poised, that have the 13 states that have the trigger laws that are poised to make this, to ban abortion immediately upon the repeal from the Supreme Court, these are generally states where particularly minorities and poor have been subjected to more exploitation and oppression.
But I'm confused, BJ. Mm-hmm. Why should the federal government, and I do understand that's the Supreme Court job to make a decision of whether or not it should go to states or remain as it is. Mm-hmm. I don't understand what role the federal government nor the state, what auspices they have over my body. This is my body and my choice and my right. How is the government now? I mean, they didn't do it with masks. Okay. You see all of the stuff that was going on with COVID. Right. I have a right not to wear a mask. They're not doing it with guns. Oh, this is my Second Amendment. You go to the hospital right now, and if your religion say you don't get blood, you don't get blood. Okay. Right. So how all of a sudden is the federal government or the state, any state, able to tell me what I should do with my body?
Well, that's been the issue, Cindy.
That's been the issue the whole time.
That's the issue. Go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead, Brenda.
And like you said, why is it now? I think it's always been there. They've always tried to reverse this, but they were more slick about it. And now with the leak, it came out. They didn't expect it to come out. And to have this, you know, people, the way they're reacting to it. I mean, it's always been there. We have always known that they're always reviewing it. What does it mean?
This is not the first leak, though, correct?
No.
So we've been here before.
It was a leak in 1973. It was a leak in 1973, and it's a leak today in 2022.
Yeah. And like you said, what does it mean now that the whites will not be minority in 2045?
2045.
Okay. So what does that mean? That minority children will be coming of age and being able to vote and all that kind of stuff. So why wouldn't they want to have control over our bodies and not to be able to produce as many children? Does that mean we have new voters coming in? Are we suppressing the vote by not allowing?
Go ahead.
I think what you're saying, Rita, is if you look simultaneously as we are trying to
have
more control, we're also looking at, look at the voters' rights and how new rules and redistricting are occurring. Yeah. So really, it's about power. And I think power and wealth always go hand in hand.
Right. Because those older voters will be older or passed on. And the new vote will be to the minority. Mm-hmm. If we take our right to vote and utilize it and do what we are supposed to do, we can do miracles. We can do lots of stuff. Why wouldn't you want to suppress this?
There's another thing that I was in. You guys are in the healthcare profession, and I've worked in a health institution. Everyone who's had anything to do with healthcare has at some point had to be trained on HIPAA laws and privacy. This is clearly, pregnancy is clearly a medical condition. I would certainly say, sir, it's a natural condition, but we get medical treatment for it. And I think that what a woman does, well, first of all, I wasn't there, and most people aren't, when the conception occurred. So it occurred in privacy, if I'm not mistaken, for right. most people. It should uh-huh. be a decision between that woman uh-huh. and her healthcare provider. And what we are now making is a decision that should be covered and protected under the privilege of healthcare privacy. And now it's becoming a legislative and political issue.
No longer a fundamental right for me to make a decision about my own, which is the only thing, by the way, I have left. You know, I pay taxes. I do everything else they tell me to do. So the only thing that I feel like I have left is my body and to right. make decisions about my body. If I go to the hospital right now and something's wrong with me, that's life-threatening, they give me a choice. There's right. a decision that I have to make.
Absolutely. So
why are we just dissecting everything and pulling out what we want to pull out and then keeping the rest? It doesn't make very much sense to me. And are these women that are making these decisions about Roe versus Wade, or are there men without a uterus?
Half the ones who are making right. it don't have a uterus at all.
Correct.
Right.
Right. Right. And how do we look to the rest of the world? I mean, it seems like we've hit the rewind
right. button,
and you have, you know, countries like Argentina who legalized abortion in 2020, Mexico just decriminalized it last year, Ireland right. in 2019, but then we're taking a step backwards. You know, this to me raises a red flag for those countries mm-hmm. that don't really respect women to begin with. So it just kind of right. puts everything on pause and we're not progressing. You right. know, the world is looking at us.
Well, Rita, now I know that you're a devout Catholic. Okay, yeah. let's yeah. talk about religion, because these are the people that I noticed that are saying what God wants. Okay, now I did a little research, not much, regarding the Bible. Right. Okay, and I have talked to many theologians who've told me abortion is nowhere in the Bible, but the implication of certain things are in the Bible.
Right.
But one thing that they all agreed on, God would not be God if he did not allow us to have choice. Even he gives us choice.
Right.
When you remove that choice, and these are two of my religious, you know, people that, you know, I love the Lord and I believe in God too.
Right.
But that's why there are provisions made for me to come to him. Right. When there are issues. So what is your take on this as a Catholic?
As a Catholic and a practicing Catholic, because there's different between a practicing Catholic and a non-practicing Catholic.
Thank you, so, Rita. Am I non-practicing? What am I?
Well, I don't know whatever religion you are either. You practice it the way it is, that theology says to practice it, or you okay. don't.
Okay.
You make
okay.
exceptions. I practice Catholicism.
Okay.
You know, so you know what that means for me. Abortion.
What does that mean for you?
For me, I do not believe in abortion.
Okay.
Because that's my belief. But okay. that's just okay. me as a personal. Do I, you know, does that go into my being a social worker? No. You know, it's my job is my job, and I provide all the resources to whomever needs them.
Yeah.
You know, but for but, Catholics, it means, you know, we right. do not
but
have
that's
abortion.
But that's a religious belief.
I'm trying
to yes. say that's your religious belief.
Yes.
However, as a woman, do you believe that anyone other than your belief now as
I believe family, that people have a choice.
That women especially should have
a choice. Women have a choice. Minority women have a choice.
Okay.
Either
okay.
yes or no. And that is a choice, like BJ says, between themselves and for me, between myself and my God.
Okay.
And we'll go from there.
So let me ask you this, Cindy, for people, because I got to thinking about it and thinking all aspects of it. And we have this concept of compulsory motherhood, where women are compelled to have children when they don't want to. Now, the best example of that was slavery, when Black women were used, were bred.
Breeding.
Were
breeding.
Compelled to have children because children were a commodity.
That's right. Yeah.
But I got to thinking about that whole religious aspect, and I thought about...
It was the same people in the transatlantic slave trade that believed in the same God with the same mentality, right?
I'm going to take it a step further.
Okay.
Probably the most notable example of compulsory motherhood would be the Blessed Virgin Mary. Mm-hmm. because ultimately she became with child in a culture where women who were accused of fornication, because when she became with child, she was not married to Joseph. She was betrothed. And in that time and in that culture, she would have been stoned.
Yeah, yeah. Joseph had a little issue with it. Go ahead,
Joseph. Yeah, but
he figured it out.
But for the sake of Joseph,
right?
Because the reality of it is, and I'm gonna bring it home for you here, because I know y'all going, where's she going with this? Under what is proposed by many states. Mm-hmm. Some states will, you know, the Supreme Court says, we want to give it back to the states. Let them decide. Let the individual communities decide. Right. So some communities will say, you can have an abortion in the incidence of rape or incest.
Right.
Some say that you won't be able to have it at all under any conditions. Others say, you know, you'll be able to have it up to a certain period. So if we look at the situation that Mary was in, how many people at that time, or even now, if Mary had said, I did not fornicate, I have been, you know, this is the Son of God. This is the Son of God that I am carrying. How many people would have believed her?
Just like they didn't believe her then, they're not going to believe anybody now.
Hence, Joseph stepped up. Well, the same thing, we're putting women in a position now that if I am raped or it is a situation of incest, we're putting women in the position where nobody believes them. You have to prove it. They are making the restrictions so limited that you're actually ultimately forcing women to have children, because by the time I'm able to prove that I've been raped or that it is an incest or that it is even at the risk of my life, under many of the current laws, it will be too late to legally terminate that pregnancy.
That's right.
So in essence, you're actually forcing women to have children. And my thing is, you can force women to have children, but you cannot force them to take care of them.
And that's where we are now in society. There are a lot of kids out there.
Okay. They sure
you don't. No. I mean, if you put people in that position, what are we going to do? What's the consequence of that? Is the consequence that, yes, I made you have this kid, but where are the laws that are
financial
protected?
How you protect? That's right. That's right.
Let me, financial being. And thank you for that one, because I was looking over some, I used to be, you know, a social worker. I worked in foster care. I was a foster care worker at one time as well. Last year, there was 175,870 white children in foster care. Out of those, only 29,000 were adopted. Let's go to the Hispanic children. There were 88,000 Hispanic children in foster care. Only 11,000 were adopted. Mm-hmm. Let's go to our African American children. There was 92,000 children in foster care. Out of that, only 5,304 were adopted.
Why is it that people don't want us?
It's not that they don't want us. It's not that they don't want us, because we're not far behind. Two or more races are biracial children. There was 31,669 children, and only 5,000 were adopted. All the rest are still in foster care. And we know by history that the state is not a good parent. No. Do we not?
We know this.
What do you think these numbers are going to look like? And where are these parents? You know, we have this, what is it called? The infant safe haven laws in place in a lot of states, right?
So it's going to be a weight on the system. A weight on the system.
Very much
so. The numbers will go higher as far as children needing placement or needing homes, but the adoption rate is probably going to stay about the same.
And foster care?
No, it's going to increase. It will increase, Maria, because
the adoption rate.
Foster care itself. Now, if you're an infant, you get placed. You know, everybody wants infants. I mean, white infants, you know, Hispanic infants, black infants. But what about our teenagers? What about our 5 or 6 year olds? What about our sibling groups? Who wants them?
Out. They'll time out.
They'll time out.
Or age out.
I have met people that were not parent candidates. They are parents, but they should not be parents.
That's right. And there are foster care homes that shouldn't be foster care homes.
They shouldn't be foster care homes. So everybody washes their hand of that. Right. But yet you can sit down now and make a decision about what goes on with my body. This program, let's put a disclaimer. We're not saying we're pro-life, pro-choice, anything else. What we're having is a discussion about what makes sense. Okay. During the original process of Roe versus Wade, when that legislated back in 1973, it was, you had what, I think it was 3 Republicans and 4 Democrats. Okay. It seemed at that time they were able to cross the aisles and come to a decision.
Now it's
based on your party affiliation. So it doesn't make sense to me, whether it be right or wrong, people are going, nope, I'm Republican, I'm Democrat. Why can't we just be human beings and think about each other? Why would you put a yoke on a young lady's life, okay, that she should not have to bear? Mm-hmm. You know, of course. Now let's talk about responsibility here since we're on that subject. What's wrong with the birth control? Come on, y'all. What's wrong with the birth control? What's wrong with abstinence? Okay, I'm going to be in your corner. What's wrong with abstinence?
Well, that's not realistic.
Thank you.
Not realistic.
We are all human. Are you agreeing with Maria?
I am.
Any generation, they get it on in the nursing homes.
They do. Even though AIDS is higher at a higher rate in a nursing home than anywhere else.
Why do you think Viagra is so popular?
Right.
People are going to.
It's free entertainment.
Make love. Mm-hmm. Are they going to do the F word? Mm-hmm. They're going to. You can't stop them.
But the responsibility obviously is not there. And unfortunately, in the minority communities, the education and the accessibility to these things are not there.
Yeah.
But there's always, you know, again, abstinence, which is not realistic. Right. They have different methods, condoms, pull out, you know, all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. It's not always a choice to be pregnant. There are things that you can do.
But the access to the clinics also in the inner cities is not.
But isn't birth control free? Birth control is free, right?
Well,
in a lot of places.
In a lot of places. Go ahead,
BJ.
The reality is they never wanted to even teach sex education in public schools.
Right.
There has been a backlash and a pushback on even doing that. So it seems like so many things that we want to institute are inconsistent. On the one hand, we've had 50 years of sexual freedom.
Right.
People don't get married anymore.
Right.
They don't have to. There's no social stigma for not getting married. People live together. You're going to try to outlaw that too?
Right. Well, there won't be a social stigma because what they will, let's talk about marijuana. Remember, at some times it was legal in 50 states. Right. Now I think 20-something steps is legal. But what about the guys that went to jail, okay, for that crime? You understand? Are they letting them out? So it's crazy. So are women now going to be penalized and going to be prosecuted and put in jail?
According to the law, they will.
Women will be criminal. Social behavior a criminal act. And so now you have, but now that's where your money comes in.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you-
so what happens to the man? Why isn't this the woman? Why is it just a woman? Why can't it be, where is the man? You know, there was an issue in the Bible where this woman, where Mary Magdalene, you know, she was accused of doing certain things and they were getting ready to stone her. Where was the man? Where is the man in all of this? Why do they get a free pass? And why do they get the option, the chance to make a decision about something so crucial about my life and my body?
Well, who made the choice in that respect? The man should be present during the time period of conception. If she wasn't chosen,
he's gonna be present during conception.
But if she goes and chooses to do this, the man may or may not know that she was pregnant to begin with. The man may or may not know that she went and had an abortion.
Right.
Okay. So, but it's still her body.
Agreed. So you're saying why isn't the man getting
held accountable as well? Because again, this boils down to, if I go to prison for something like that, then why doesn't he share in the responsibility? I know, but those are isolated incidents that you're talking about. Most of these guys, when you tell them, oh, so-and-so is pregnant, you better check and see if it's mine. Now, you've been playing in the water hole, okay? You've been in the water hole drawing out water, okay, drinking, having a good time, okay? Mm-hmm. You've been there, but all of a sudden, you ain't so sure if this is your baby. And remember, this is not funny. When I was growing up, I always heard the guy say, yeah, mama's baby, papa's baby.
Well, so that was before DNA.
Yeah, that's okay. What I was going to say. Are they going to DNA test?
Yeah, there's no maybe now.
There's no maybe. We got DNA. So,
if you're going to enact a rule where women are required to go to term with the pregnancy that they either didn't expect or don't want, then, and we have DNA testing now, I think we should make men financially responsible too.
Well, and that's working out so well now, right, guys?
Some of these women know that the men that they laid down with last night wasn't worth 2 cents.
Right.
So I done got pregnant. Oh no, he can't support me. He can't do nothing. So why not?
Yeah, but if the government's going to make me have the child, then the government should make him support it.
Agreed.
But it's not a question. Ladies, it's not working now. I mean, there's a lot of people that don't pay child support, men and women. Let's just be honest.
We're not enforcing the rule. See, now they're talking about it.
Well, they say they enforce it, BJ. I mean, every time
Well, they don't enforce it. How many single mothers are in poverty?
Yeah. And let me ask you a question. Are abortions free? Or do you have to pay for them?
No, they're not free.
You got to pay for that.
You got to pay for that. That's why some people do not have abortions, because they cannot come up with whatever, if they're doing it on a sliding scale, what it's supposed to be. Some women cannot come up with it. Say it's $200.
Okay, so Rita. So what you're saying is kind of, if they have like a 6 week or 8 week earmark where I can have it, and if I don't make enough money because I'm making $9.99 and I got other kids, and if I don't make enough money, if I pass that time, then I go to jail. So now my kids, I mean, this is such a...
Well, you said it was a very complex topic. It's just like a snowball effect. It's one thing affecting the other, affecting the other. So we can talk for days, ladies, run out.
But there are things that I think they have not considered. And part of is the enforcement. Yes, you make this law. How are you going to enforce it? That's the key part here.
I think they're expecting citizens and doctors and whoever to turn in folks.
Well, the doctor shouldn't say anything.
Well, the abortion doctor will. But there's going to be
How do you know?
You know, we all know. Well, I don't know if y'all know. Okay, but where the abortion clinics are.
Okay. But how do you know? Maria is right. How would they know? Okay.
I'm pregnant today and tomorrow I tell my neighbor I'm no longer pregnant. Let's be honest. Or I tell my teacher, I was pregnant yesterday and I'm no longer, or she asked me, how's the pregnancy coming along, Rita? Well, I'm no longer pregnant. What if what if my teacher tells on me?
Rita, what if I just had a big belly, a big tummy, and then suddenly I lose weight? Now I'm in jail because they thought I was pregnant.
Well, no, they're going to.
Well, don't you have to have
prove
evidence?
You're pregnant. Yeah, you're going to prove you're pregnant before you can have an abortion.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, that's the
important thing. Nobody goes to an abortion clinic.
That's the biggest violation. That's a major violation. Okay. That's a major violation.
And like BJ says, they've coming up with all this stuff. They haven't thought things through. What's going to happen?
Because they're men.
Okay. I was going to say that.
Yeah, that's them. I mean.
But that might not be funny, but it's true.
It's true.
They don't think about all the little stuff because they don't know.
They don't know. They're just looking at the big picture. They're not seeing the day to day.
You're right, because they're looking at a picture, but ain't the big picture when those hormones start raging and they reach over at night or whatever. They're not thinking, oh, something could happen when I'm out on a date. Let me put on a condom. Let me do so and so. So listen.
Or your contraceptive failed.
Yeah.
Even if you're doing the right thing and you're taking your birth control, you're using your condoms and it fails, or you're using your natural
fails. But Rita, not the right thing, because your religion, as most Christian religions, dictates that you be celibate. You do not open up your legs.
What did Maria say? That's not realistic.
It's not realistic.
And okay. If I'm not non-practicing, I am whatever I am, but I'm non-practicing.
And practicing. The practicing ones be the main ones.
Mm. Yeah. And I think one of the things you mentioned, Cindy, earlier, you kind of almost you touched on it. What you hear a lot of the medical and social experts being very concerned is, how are you going to look at certain contraceptives? Right. You know, IUDs. If my understanding is the way that the IUD works is it prevents pregnancy. So it's some religions, they see that as a form of abortion.
Yes, they do.
So using contraception wouldn't be. And then what about IVF?
Yeah,
because you actually have these fertilized eggs, but you're not going to use all the ones that are fertilized. So what do you do with these frozen embryos?
You
kill them, that's murder under this law.
You know, our scholars are still not able to tell me, okay, whether or not a fetus is actually a human being. Okay, so who makes the final decision about any of that when they don't need to, because it's your body, because you have to live with it, you know?
Those men without the uterus again?
But most men don't have a uterus. Now I have heard that.
Times are changing, you're right.
I've heard some strange stuff, okay?
There's so many other things that I think really affect every individual in this country. Whether a woman chooses to terminate a pregnancy or go to full term does not affect our economy, our schools, our businesses in the same way that all of these other social concerns that you're saying should be first and foremost.
Yeah.
And what is most concerning, and particularly for our audience, for our KIWK audience, if you can repeal something that was considered established law for 50 years.
Then
what you can repeal other things such as interracial marriage, same-sex marriage, equal pay for equal work of women. These are laws that came about because people were trying to fight. But if you can repeal Roe versus Wade, you can repeal these other laws that are even more recent.
Other things.
Be aware.
Be aware.
I don't know.
Snowball effect, people.
Yeah.
For real, what are the chances of your generation? What do you think the percentage of your generation thinks about Roe versus Wade?
I think a high number of younger generation of people think that pro-choice is their stance.
Yeah, not necessarily that they're against abortion, but they want
the power to choose.
Okay.
Having the option to choose.
To choose, right.
Correct.
Just like you choose your mate, just like you choose what, when you get up in the morning, what you want for breakfast, just like you choose. I mean, this is, to me, it's fundamental rights.
Right.
Okay, it's choice. So when you remove, if you see, I think a lot of people like to cloud the waters by saying, oh, you're for abortion. You know, that's not what it means. It means to me, this is the way I'm looking at it. It means to me that I have that very personal choice, very personal to me, okay, what I do with my body, okay? And I think that individuals, especially women, should read. Don't be saying, oh, well, the pastor said, no, Pookie told me that so-and-so.
There's Pookie again. Getting us in trouble.
And picked up no book, nothing. You know, I think that all of these people that are getting people riled up about abortion, okay, and saying they're killing kids. Well, they kill people every day. You understand? They kill people every day. But you're making
people
it look
die
like
every day.
Yeah, you're killing all these people. That's not so. You know, basically, you're clouding the real argument is about choice. That's what the real argument is about.
Right. You know? And it's about choice on the behavior that, case in point, if you, let's say you smoke, that's your choice to smoke. It's your choice to engage in that behavior. What if we said, well, if you smoke and you have a smoking-related illness, you can't get treatment? Because ultimately, if they're saying, if you engage in sexual activity and you have an unexpected and or unwanted pregnancy, now they're saying you can't have a treatment for that. They're removing one of the options of treatment for that.
Right.
And that's really the same thing. It is a behavior that you engaged in, that there is a medical treatment or a medical option for that now you no longer have. And you could apply that to, like I said, people who smoke. That's a dangerous behavior, but we still treat them when they get sick from it. Or if you eat, as our show has talked about, health related, if you eat the wrong foods and you don't exercise and you get diabetes, what if we said, well, you know, if you didn't take care of yourself, then we're not going to treat you for that.
And that's what they're going to say. That's why I'm thinking, is this a just law? Is this for really all women and all people?
You know the answer.
I know. Why is she asking that?
You know,
what's the answer, Cindy?
Right. Well, okay. You know, African Americans,
Latinos,
American Indians, the mortality rate of babies is sky high as it is today. Okay. So what are you trying to make us have? I'm not understanding it. I just, there's something
you
wrong with me.
You do understand
You do.
I do understand it. Okay.
Yeah, you do.
The oppressed stay oppressed, don't they?
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's basically what's going on. So I don't think this issue about Roe versus Wade is going to be at the top of my list of concerns. Okay. Because BJ, I'm going to let you keep your uterus. Rita, I'm going to let
you keep
your
uterus. I appreciate that.
Thank you for that.
I've had for a while.
And Maria, I'm going to need for you to utilize yours. Okay. You just got married. You need at least one. And you don't need the Supreme Court to tell you to have that one. That can be a decision between you and your husband. Okay.
It's a choice.
It's a choice.
Right. A choice. Okay. Well, I
enjoyed this talk. You know, it's so many levels and layers to it.
Difficult, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah. And we want to hear from people who view our show. You know, what do you think? You know, go to our website. We're on all of the social media platforms.
But side note real quick. This is going to affect white women too.
Yes.
So
probably will not happen.
Did you see that rate?
They're still going to want their choice.
Yeah, you see that rate of children in foster care for white women too, or white
families?
Yeah,
that was pretty high as well.
Yeah. It affects us all.
So no matter the outcome or the consequences of rescinding current legislation or enacting new laws, it's going to be notable. There's going to be a notable impact to women and women of color. The political party lines are sending us a new message, y'all. Mm. We pick and choose what we want to care about. And that's not necessarily the country, the community, children, or women. And I think we need to take note of that.
Well, that's it for today. Thank you for listening to Kicking It with Kidneys with your host, Cindy Barclay. See you next week. The views expressed on this podcast are educational and opinion-based. These are not medical doctors.
Be sure to catch us on social media on our website, kickingitwithkidneys.com, also on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube.
I just don't want my taxes going up, paying for kids I don't have.
Well, hold up, Maria. Your taxes going up.
Well, it's true, Maria. They're going to go up because we don't have a choice.
I pay school tax or whatever this is.
You don't even have kids.
I don't even have
kids.
There you go. That's all right. Why should you have to pay school taxes?
Right, I don't have any kids.
And when you don't have kids,
but you still got to pay them taxes, don't you?
Give me my extra coin.
Well, better yet, why are you paying school taxes for poor education?